Tonight's shiur, Parshas Chayei Sarah. Sedra begins, Vayu Chayei Sarah, Mea Shana, Vesvim Shana, Vesheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sarah. So they ask the question, the end of the Pasuk seems redundant. We said, Vayu Chayei Sarah, this is the life of Sarah. And then we mentioned the years. Why do you have to say again, Shnei Chayei Sarah? This is the years of Sarah. We already said, Vayu Chayei Sarah. Why is it repeating? So, son, name of a Sefer Shvus Yehuda, based on a Rashi, which we're going to mention again, Bezrat Hashem, a little later on as well. Rashi says, "V'nismecha misa Sarah l'kedus Yitzchak." The end of last week's sedra was a kedus Yitzchak, and now we have the death of Sarah. What's the connection? Lafisha yaday besuras hakeda shnizdamen bena l'shchita u'kemat shalo nishchat. So when she heard about the Akedah that her dear son Yitzchak was almost shechted, she was went into shock. Parcha nishmasa, her neshama left her, umeis, and she died. So, one, therefore, might have a question and think, wait a minute, that means that Sarah died before her time. Right? She would have lived longer, but because she was told about the Akedah, she went into shock and she died. Aye, but we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memale the years of tzaddikim, right, from yom liyom, that they live full lives, they usually die on the same day even that they were born. So what's going on? Sarah was a tzaddikis, how come she didn't live her full life? Therefore, the pasuk has to say at the end, no, shnei chayei Sarah. These are the years of Sarah, full years. She didn't die younger than she was supposed to. She was supposed to die exactly at that time. But the way Hashem organized it, it should be through this, you know, through her hearing about the Akedah. But not that if it wasn't for that, she wouldn't have died. She would have died anyways. With this, we can answer another question they ask. And that is, Avram Avinu, Chora, went through the Akedah. Now, is that a mitzvah? Yeah. So we have a rule that a shliach mitzvah, shlichi mitzvah, are not nizakin. Person doesn't get damaged from doing a mitzvah, not in the going, not in the coming. So I hear Avram Avinu did this great mitzvah, the Akedah, and comes back and his wife's dead because of it. So one could ask, well, what about the promise of Chazal that shlichi mitzvah not get damaged? This poor man, Avram, lost his wife because of the Akedah. And therefore, so we see from this pasuk, like we said, no, Shnei Chayei Sarah. She didn't die because of the Akedah. She would have died anyways. This is where time to go. It happened to be that Hashem made it so she would die through the mitzvah of the Akedah. But not that it was early. And therefore, Avram wasn't punished or something bad didn't happen to him, you know, when he was doing the mitzvah. Because she would have died anyways. I'm going to answer that question as well. There's a maisa I saw, which is little bit, let's say, problematic. It needs a little bit of explanation. But share with you the maisa since it's connected to this inyan. There was once a Talmud Chacham, and in his younger years, he was, once he filled up this, he had this boiling hot pot on the oven, and for some reason he had to transfer it, whatever. And as he's transferring this pot, it slipped from his hand and fell right on his little daughter, who was standing next to him, boiling hot water. She was scathed with this hot water. She was screaming her head off, naturally, until she fainted. And lo aleinu, she actually was nifter from the occurrence. You can imagine how this avreich felt. You know, he basically killed his daughter. And he went into shock. He himself, like, passed out at first. And afterwards, he was in such shock from the what happened. He couldn't learn anymore. He could barely talk. He was like a massive depression. He was like really. So the Chazon Ish heard about it, heard what went on with him, and he wanted to speak. So he called the man in, and he said, "Listen, you know," he said, "this is what he told him." He said, "A person thinks that he's in control of his actions. The person thinks, I could do whatever I want." He says, he doesn't realize that he can't do anything. The person can't do anything. Everything that happens, he says, HaKol U'mishamayim L'vav. Everything is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And therefore, what happened over here was as if a hand came down from Shemayim and pushed, you know, this water out of your hands onto your daughter, and that's it. So therefore, he says, you have to forget the whole thing that happened, and as if it never happened. Forget about it. It's not you. It was a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He wanted this to happen, and finish. So he took the words to heart of the Chazon Ish, and eventually, today, he became one of the great Gedolei HaTorah. It doesn't say who it was, but today he's one of the Gedolei HaTorah. That's the Maisa. I'm not going into all the Hashkafa behind it, but L'chor, it needs a little bit more explanation, because what does that mean? Anything, things happen, or it's like, oh, forget it. No, we're not supposed to forget when things happen. When things happen, there's a reason behind it. Yeah, Hashem made him drop the water, but why did Hashem make him drop the water on this and kill his kid? There must be a reason behind it. Maybe he deserves it, maybe he didn't. So therefore, to say, I can ignore it, nothing happened. Okay, it's not so pashut. It needs explanation, but that's not for now. Okay, next. The pasuk says, V'yavo Avraham lispod l'sara v'lif kota. The pasuk says, and Avraham came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. And again, we saw the Rashi. Lama nismecha, Rashi says it over here on these words, the Yichayis Yitzhak, etc. So the makor of this Rashi, that Sarah heard about the Akeda and that's why she died, is a Midrash Tanchuma. And the Midrash says that what happened, the Satan came, and he came as the in disguise of Yitzchak. He appeared to Sarah in the guise of Yitzchak, and Sarah said to her son Yitzchak, which she thought was Yitzchak, you know, said, "What's going on?" He said, "What did your father do to you? Where'd you go? What's going on?" So he relayed, "Well, yeah, my father took me and took me there, brought me to here, and made a mizbeach and tied me down and took out his knife." And when she heard this, she got so worked up that she died as Rashi. So here we see a tremendous power of the Yetzer Hara. Here's the Yetzer Hara has the power to make him look like Sarah's son and make the story and bring it to life and to such a degree that it mamash killed Sarah. It's a famous Maisa. We see the power of the Satan. It's a Rav Yosef Slotsker. Coincidentally, was the Rav of Slotsk. And when he was a young boy, his father died. So he was orphaned from his father, lived with his mother, his sisters. And his mother sent him to learn yeshiva by Rav Chaim Volozhin. He was a Volozhin in yeshiva. So he was a big, big masmid. He was a ilui. And learning really stark in yeshiva. One day, a letter comes into the yeshiva. So I don't know if this was always done, but Rav Chaim, I maybe used to, you know, go through the letters and make sure there's, you know, everything's kosher, yosher, you know. So he reads the letter, and it says in there, it's a letter from his mother, Yosef's mother, and said, "Yosef, please, I'm asking you, as you know, I'm without a husband, without somebody to support us, and it's very, very difficult. And can you please come home, therefore, from yeshiva, so to help us, support the family?" So Chaim reads the letter and puts it in his filing cabinet. Doesn't give it to the boy. Fine. A little while later, another letter comes in from the mother. Chaim opens it. This letter says something to the effect of, "Yosef, how come you didn't answer my letter? I sent you a letter. We need help. Things are tough. How come you're just ignoring me? What's going on? Please. Come." Chaim reads the letter, puts in his filing cabinet. Okay. A little while later, another letter comes in. Again from the mother. And says, "Yosef, there's been a fire in the town. And everything's burnt up. And our house, our business, everything's burnt to the crisp. Burnt to the ground. And you gotta come home quick. We need you. We need to help us over here. Quick, come." Chaim reads the letter, puts it in the filing cabinet. Another letter comes now in, this time, not from Yosef's mother, but from Yosef's older sister. and says, Yosef, some Ima is deathly ill. Come quick. You have to come immediately back to the filing cabinet. Another letter comes in from the sister and says, bad news, Yosef, our mother was this nifter in the filing cabinet. Rav Yosef continues learning Osechayel in the yeshiva and makes a great name for himself, gets a big great gevaltik shidduch, and now it's time for him to leave the yeshiva, go on to other things. So he goes into Rav Chaim, says, okay, I'd like to, you know, part. It's been great all these years learning by you, and, you know, going on now. And Rav Chaim says, oh, you know, very nice. He says, but before you go, I want to show you something. Oh, okay. Chaim goes to his filing cabinet, picks out a few letters, and said, here, these letters are for you. So for me, picks out the letters and he starts reading them one by one. Come home quick. How come you don't answer my letter? Fire in the city. Mom is sick. Mom dies. He's going through all these letters. He reads it. He rips Kriya. You know, he reads about his mother's day. He rips Kriya and he passes out. He faints on the spot. Finally, he comes to and he says, Rebbe, why didn't you show me these letters? Well, how could you hide this from me? My mother, my dad, how could you do this? So Rav Chaim told him, he said, listen, I want to let you know something. Everything that happened here was all a Maisa Satan. It was all the Satan. You should know, the Satan has the koach. He can burn down cities. He can kill people. He can ruin families. He has the power to do all these things. And he'll do all these things just to get a bachar out of learning. He'll do anything to get a bachar out of learning. So this was all the device of the Satan to get you out of the Beis Medrash. And what? So I should give you the letters and let the Satan be, you know, win, be victorious, be successful in what he wants to do? No. That's why I held the letters back for me. Power of the Satan. It's a very difficult balaturim here on these words, on this pasuk v'yavo Avraham lispod l'sarav alifkota, that he eulogized, cried for Sarah. Very difficult balaturim on the surface. What does balaturim say? He points out that the letter kaf in velif kosa, and he cried for her, is little. So what's the significance of the little kaf? So says balaturim, shalo bacha Avraham ela me'at, to tell us that he only cried a little bit for Sarah. Why? Lefish zekena haita. Because after all, she was old. Nothing to cry about. She's an old woman anyway, seems to be. Very difficult balaturim over here. The Bikurei Avraham says, what, that's, you know, Torah's trying to praise Avraham over here? He only cried a little because Sarah was old. So what's it supposed to mean? What? And is it because she was old, she doesn't deserve to be cried upon? I mean, she was like unbelievable tzedekah. She's, you know, mekar of all the nashim, and she was a high level nevuah, and to live the full life, and everything she did, and what? And nothing to cry about? Why? She was old anyways. Does it make sense? What's more, we see people cry about old people as well when they die. In the Torah, where do we have Aaron? Right? It says, V'yivka k'klai Yisrael cry from 30 days. How old was Aaron when he died? A young man? 123 years old. It says that they cry for Moshe Rabbeinu. How old was he? 120. These are old people. And they cry. Why do they cry? Of course, because he's old. But he is a great person dies, you cry. So what's Pshat? And Avraham said, nah, old guy's old, nothing to cry about. Doesn't make sense. He says a gevaltig word. He says, based tied into what we said before as well, Avraham Avinu, he knew, he heard, you know, after he came back from the Akedah, that his wife died. Basically, you know, seemingly from the Akedah. You know, heard about the Akedah, we said, and she died. Now, when Avraham heard this, he felt the Yetzer Hara creep in. What did the Yetzer Hara want to do? The Yetzer Hara wanted to say, you see, Akedah, you did the Akedah, you see what your Akedah caused? Because of your Akedah, you lost your wife. You see that? So that Avraham would what? He'd have regret. He says, oh yeah, why did I do that Akedah? I shouldn't have done it. You know, and regret the mitzvah he did, therefore negating it. That's what the Yetzer Hara wanted. He wanted Avram to regret the Akedah, negate it, so goodbye Akedah, goodbye Schar. Avram felt this. He felt this was, you know, creeping in the Yetzer Hara, that he should regret the Akedah. So therefore, what did he do? He had to counter the Yetzer Hara. How did he counter the Yetzer Hara? By saying, no, it wasn't the Akedah. It wasn't the Akedah. She would have died anyways. She was old. She was an old woman. She was probably meant to die anyways. In fact, like we said at the first vort tonight, right? Don't think she died young. She did. This was her time to die. And Avraham, therefore, had to repeat this to himself. It wasn't the Akedah. She would have died anyways. She was an old woman. And therefore, to make it himself really feel this, he made sure he didn't cry a lot. Because as if to, you know, to fight that Yetzer and say, I'm not going to cry a lot because she was old. In other words, I'm not regretting the Akedah. It has nothing to do with the Akedah. She was old, she would have died anyways. And therefore, he held back the crying even to make it even more real to him that I'm not crying for her because so much because, you know, she would have died anyways. Therefore, not affecting the great mitzvah of the Akedah. And with this, the Kilas Yitzchak also says we can understand another thing. It says, "V'lispod li Sarah v'liv kota." He eulogized her and cried. So they ask that the Gemara Moed Katan says that it first comes bichia and then hesped. First comes crying and then hesped. So how come here in the pasuk it's afuch? Here it's lispod first and then crying. Ah, so according to what we're saying now, it's beautiful because Avraham, the crying wasn't the ikker. He tried to minimize the cry. And therefore, lispod l'sarah, that he did, eulogize. But when it came to crying, we said he cried just a little bit. He tried to hold himself back, like we said. And therefore, the crying was secondary. And therefore, first is lispod l'sarah, and only afterwards, lifkosa. Okay. Pasuk says, when Eliezer saw Rivka for the first time, a yaretz ha'eved, he ran to the Likrata, to Rivka, Vayomer Hagmiini na matmai mikane, and give me some water from your jug. So the Ramban points out over here, it says that the pasuk he points out, the pasuk says, Vahanara tovat marameod, betutai shalayada, veterida aina, vetamale kada, vetal. She filled up her kad. This says filled up her cut. Later on, after Eliezer comes up to her, it says, etc., and says, I'd like to have something to drink, so she gave what she had, and then she went to fill up her cut again, to fill up to give for the camels. And then it says over there, Vatamir Vatera Kada Ela Shoket, Vataratzod Ela Be'er, Lishov, Vatishav Lachomana. Here it brings that, it says the word Vatishav, she drew the water. So says the Ramban is medayik. Here it says she drew it, but mashma. How come it doesn't say that before? Before it just says she took her cut and filled it up. So Ramban says we see that before the waters came up to her miraculously. You know, waters in the bottom of the well. It rose up to her. She didn't have to bend down. Came right up to her miraculously. Rose up and she just took the water. That's why it doesn't say v'tishav. And then when you know Eliezer saw this, he goes, wow. You know, so he ran to her, but Yared said he ran to her, and when he saw this miracle, as water came up, this is obviously a special girl. Oh, that's a Ramban. So the question is crying out at us, right? If that's the case, if she's such a tzedakis and the water comes up, so how come the second time she had to draw? If she, all of a sudden the waters didn't come up to her a second time. Why not? So says the Kedusha Slavi. Because the first time, why was she, when she got water the first time, why? She got water for herself, the family, whatever. She was drawing water for them. So, there, Hashem made a miracle, make it easy for her. Right? She didn't have to schlep it. The waters came up. She's a tzedakis. New. So how come now she had to draw? Because now, why was she drawing water? Now she's drawing water for a mitzvah. Now she's drawing water for this guest, you know, Eliezer says, please, I need water, myself, my camel, whatever. Oh, she runs to give for the camels. Now, since she was doing a mitzvah, Hashem made it difficult because part of the mitzvah is the effort one has to put into the mitzvah. When it came to the mitzvah of getting for the animals, etc., now Hashem made it difficult so she can get the schar, the fum tzar agra, of working hard for the mitzvah. And the Ramban says, we find the same thing, interesting, in Parshas Noach. It says, by the animals that are not kosher, It says, "Shnai mikol yavo elech alachayos." Like the two pairs of the, you know, of the unkosher animals will come to you. So notice the lashon says Ramban, "Yavo elecha." They're going to come to you. Masha'in kain, the kosher animals, which were seven, it doesn't say they're going to come to him. Meaning, those you have to go out and get. What's the difference? According to what we're saying now, it's beautiful. The treif animals, treif animals, well, you have to bring them in. There should, you know, still be animals in the world. Fine. So they came to him, miraculously. But the kosher ones, what were they for? Karbanis, mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, says Hashem, now you got to work for it. You got to put the effort in for mitzvahs. It shouldn't come easy. Mela, those you have to go out. Okay. Next. It says, Per Kaftalad Pasuk Mem Beis, when Eliezer is recalling the whole thing that happened with him and Rivka to Rivka's family, Lavan, etc. It says in the Pasuk, Vayavo Hayom El Ha'ayin. Right? He says, I came today to the spring, right, Va'omar, and I said, Hashem Lokei Adoni, Yeshem, you know, help me, etc., etc. And he goes through the whole story. So Rashi says something interesting here. Va'avo hayom, hayom yatsasi, va'ayom bati. Even though I came from quite a distance, but I came the same day. The same day I left, I arrived. Mikan shekaf solo ha'aretz, Gemara in Sanhedrin. From here we see that kaf solo, he had kvitzas aderech. In one day he came to a long distance, same day. So it's a very interesting word, but I'd like to share with you in addition to it. The Sefer Oev Yisrael says that there's a remez here. And that is, in Kabbalah, for those of you who've learned Kabbalah, the shame of Hashem that is the shame of Hashem for Kfitzas Haderech, in case you're interested, is the name Aleph Hei Vav Hei. Aleph Hei Vav Hei is the name of Hashem for Kfitzas Haderech, if you're ever in a rush. And it's hinted to in the words Es Hashemayim Ves Haaretz. Rashi Tevas Es Aleph Hashemayim Hei Ves Vav Haaretz Hei. Aleph Hei Vav Hei. Ah. Now Mele, he says, so there's a remez in the pasuk over here that Eliezer had kvisas aderech, like Rashi said. Why? Because what does the pasuk say? V'avo hayom el ha'ayin. What are the first letters of v'avo hayom el ha'ayin? Vav hey aleph hey. The letters of the kvisas aderech. Mele, and those words Rashi says hayom, he came today, nah, had kvisas aderech, hinted to in the Rashi Tevis of those words. There's a chikira, they ask, when, how does it work with kvitzas aderech? Two possibilities. Do we say that when a person has kvitzas aderech, he goes quickly to where he's headed to, or where he's headed to comes quickly to him? Which way is it? So they say it's tied into the Shem Hashem over here. Depends on the order of the letters. If you say the orders of the letter, lefi, we said, aleph, hey, vav, hey, lefi, the order, then you go quickly to your destination. Kvitzas aderech that way. But if you say the letter is out of order, then comes the other way. You're stationary and the place comes to you. Memele, he says, it's meduyak and Rashi. Here, we said, where's kvitzas aderech? He said, vav, hayom, el ha'ayin. The letters are kvitzas aderech, but they're not in order. Which means that the place comes to you. What does Rashi say? Vavoyam hayom yatsayom bati mikan shekafzalo haaretz. Not that he was kofet, but kafzalo haaretz. The land jumped to him, which is very good. Since Eliezer used the letters out of order, so the place came to him, and he didn't go kafzalo haaretz. Meduyak in Rashi. Now, one last thing that the Belzer Rebbe adds, says that Avraham, we see that Avraham already, when he sent Eliezer, he gave him this, he was moser him this Shem Hashem of Kvitzas Aderech. Why? Because it says back in Kaf Dalet Beis, find it here, right, it says Abraham told Eliezer, right, Moshe b'chol shelo, simna yachatach zirechi v'yashpiyacha be'elokei b'Hashem, elokei ha'shamayim. And then it says elokei ha'shamayim ve'elokei ha'aretz. What are those letters? Elokei aleph ha'shamayim hey ve'elokei vav ha'aretz hey aleph hey vav hey. So here we have when Avram sent Eliezer, ready with Moshe, the shame of Kvitzas Aderech, Aleph Hei Vav Hei. Okay? That's what the Belzer Rebbe says. Ad Kan Vort. Now, I'd like to add my 2 cents over here, whatever it's worth. I want to say the following, which I think is quite nice. Now, it bothered me. Why did if Avram gave him the name Aleph Hei Vav Hei, okay, as we said, why did Eliezer switch the name around and do it in a different way? Right, he did it in a different order. Why? Avram gave him the name. Okay, you could say it this way, you could say it that way, but why did he? Why? Why would he change? So I'd like to suggest the following, something I saw in Pardes Yosef, and just embellishing it to fit in over here. Pardes Yosef says an interesting thing. He says that the day that Eliezer left and went, you know, and to try to find a shidduch, what day was it? He said it was the first day of Sukkot. Yantuf, first day of Sukkot. Now, so we have a problem. Why? Because how could Eliezer travel all the way to Haran, right, to for the shidduch, which is definitely more than a kilometer, you know, Tchum, and Tchum is Shaykh not only in Shabbos, also in Yontif. So how is he able to travel outside the Tchum? So to answer that, okay, they say, that's it, that Kafsa lo ha'aretz. He had Kfizas Aderech, so he didn't have to worry about the Tchum. Now, I want to say therefore the following, that Abraham gave Eliezer the name. Straight, Aleph Hei Vav Hei, right, pieces of Derech, regular. So we said before that there's a difference between if the name's in order and out of order. When it's in order, what happens? You go to your destination fast, right, jump. Whereas, if it's out of order, then the destination comes to you, right? Avram gave him the name straight, stop here, this is the name, pieces of Derech, Aleph Hei Vav Hei, that's it. Then Eliezer decided, okay, I'm going whenever he went, that day, next day, whenever he went, he decided when he's going, he's going. But he decided to go on Yantav, the first day of Sukkot. He had a problem. I can't go and travel so far, I can't leave the Tchum. So Kfitz is a Derech. But wait a minute, so what? I'm going to jump over there, it's still outside the Tchum. Said Eliezer, what will I do? I'll switch the name around so I won't have to move. The place will come to me. Kafzaloar, as he changed the name, so the place will come to me. He doesn't have to move. He doesn't have to leave the Tchum. That's why Eliezer changed the name around. Okay. One last Inyan for tonight. It says they commented, "Mi Hashem yatsa davar," right? When he suggested that Eliezer is the next shidduch, so they said, "Yes, it's obviously from Hashem." Gemara says, "Amori katan amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Ruvain ben Istrubili mina Torah mina Navim umina Ksuvim Mi Hashem yatsa davar," meaning, "Mi Hashem, excuse me, ish leisha." That we find a source in the Chumash and in the Navi and Ketuvim that Shiduchim are min Hashemayim. It's from Hashem. Mi Hashem ish l'isha. Agav is a vort, they say, nice vort. Says the Gemara brings down that there's 2 psukim. In Mishle it says Matza isha matzatov. You find good. Yet in Kohelet it says Motza ani mar esa isha mar mimaves. I found the woman is bitter than death. So what is it? What is it? Matzah Isha Matzah Tov in Mishle. I found a woman you find good. Or Matzani Esa Isha Marmi Mavis. The woman's worse than bitter than death. So they say nice, based on what we said. Then if a person realizes that Shiduchim are from Hashem, that everything, he has nothing to do with it, it's all Hashem, then Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. When is that not the case? If it's motze ani mar mimav, that I esayisha, motze ani esayisha, I found it. It was my effort. I put it. I did. Oh, it's motze ani. Then it's mar mimav. You have to realize it all from Kodesh Baruch. Okay, I'd like to share with you a maisa, unbelievable maisa, with Chafetz Chaim. I don't know how well known it is. I hadn't heard it until recently. That it was said over by Shlomo Bloch, who was the Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. And he explains Chafetz Chaim's first wife, he was married a couple times, but his first wife, how the shidduch went. Unbelievable. What happened? Chafetz Chaim, he was a young boy, he lost his father. And he was 16 years old, and it says he was learning in yeshiva in Vilna. His mother sent him to learn yeshiva in Vilna. In the meantime, his mother remarried after, you know, he lost his father, so his mother remarried. And a guy named Rav Shimon, a very, very Pasha Yid. His father, the Chafetz Chaim's father, was not a Pasha Yid at all. He was a big Talmud Chacham, he was a Talmud of Chaim Volozhin. But the second husband of Chafetz Chaim's mother, he was a very, very simple Pasha Yid. His name is Rav Shimon. And finally they got married and they lived in Radin. So Chafetz Chaim was learning, though he's 16, he was learning in Vilna. So he decided to come home to visit his mother, you know. So he comes for a visit, and his stepfather was very impressed with him. You can imagine, you know, Chafetz Chaim, you know, even though he's only 16, but he's like very impressed with him. So he was so impressed with him that he wants to suggest a shidduch. He says, "Oh, I have a shidduch for this boy. Who? My daughter from his first marriage." Okay, that's okay, you know, fine. There's only one tiny little problem. Chafetz Chaim was 16, right? How old was the girl? 26. 10 years older than him. She was 26, he was 16. And he said, "Oh, but he thought, wow, impressive boy. I want for my, so he says, "Okay, I'm, you know, making the shidduch. I want this boy, you know, to marry my daughter." Now, the mother, his wife, you know, Chafetz Chaim's mother, heard this, and she's like, "What are you, out of your mind? Are you, a 26-year-old, you might forget it, don't even think of it, whatever." Anyways, but he was insistent. He says, "No, I want a boy for my daughter." And then, what happened? It got to such a, you know, machlaikis, that the Chafetz Chaim mother decided to want to separate from him. It got to such a thing. Chafetz Chaim heard this, he felt terrible. He says, "What? Because of me? You know, we're going to break up my mother's marriage and everything." So he said, no. So he goes to his mother, he says, "Listen, mother, I really want to marry this girl. Please let me marry her. I'm sure it'll be good, it'll be great, just let me, oh, please, mom." And he's like, "Yeah, you really, yeah, really, you sure, yeah, yeah." Well, so he convinces his mother, all so that, you know, so shouldn't stare the, you know, shalom bais of his mother and her husband. So I said, "Fine." So sure enough, they made the shidduch. This 26-year-old girl. So first of all, they were very poor. This guy, Rav Shimon, was a poor guy. So no money, nothing, nowhere of supporting. He came back to yeshiva, you know, and he says, "Oh, I'm getting married to this girl." Everybody's like, "Are you out of your mind? You know, you're an ilu. You're this. You can marry anybody you want, and get some rich father-in-law support you. How can you just summon marry so? How can you do that?" Anyway, he started thinking about it. Anyways, when it came time to make the Tanaim, so they were there to make the Tanaim. Chafetz Chaim's brother, Rav Aaron, he heard about this. He almost flipped out. He goes, no way. And he goes, "I'm going to break this before it happens." You know, so he jumps in his wagon and he speeds to Rad, you know, to before the Tanaim are made, you know, to break the, make sure it doesn't happen. And what happens? Just before he gets to Radin, one of the wheels break from the wagon, and by the time he fixed it, he gets there, it's too late. The Tanaim were made. That was the end of that. Anyways, this they went through with the wedding, and this, and by the time the wedding came, the father of Shimon was so poor, he went, and the little thing he had, he wasn't able to meet his what he promised. He wasn't able to, he had so nothing. Ad kedei kach, the only thing he had for the chasana he found this old bag of wheat kernels. They're all infested with insects and everything, whatever, and that's the only thing he can offer for the chasana. And the Kala and her friend, whatever, on the day of the Chasana, had to go through these kernels one by one to check for insects. And they took the few kernels that they saved, and they crushed them, and they made some bread. That was the Suda of the Chafetz Chaim Suda. And I can imagine, that was it. I mean, he never didn't have some rich father-in-law supporting him. And he lived in a house, as the famous story goes, which is true, you know, a dirt floor. And it says that for Shabbos, you know, you can't do sponge on the floor. It's dirt. So for what he did for Shabbos, he got his hands on some sand, some, you know, light-colored sand, you know, and he used to sprinkle the light-colored sand on the floor, like that's Lichvot Shabbos. You know, But despite all of this, the Chafetz Chaim says that everything he has he owes to this woman, his wife. He says, Dafka Lafach, he said, you know, he said, I have a friend that he married a nice, you know, from rich home, and yeah, he supported him in learning for a few years, until his father-in-law said, okay, I supported you for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, now you have to go out, and he had to go out, and that never amounted too much after that. But with me, my wife never wanted anything. And my father-in-law for sure. My wife, she didn't come from a rich home. She expected jewelry and this and that. Nothing. She had nothing. She expected nothing. And we lived with nothing. And so I was just able to sit and learn. So everything I have, all the Torah, all the Sfarim I put out, he says, I owe it all to my wife, who was a big Yerushalmi. So everything is okay. Obviously, the Galus of the Chafetz Chaim, he married his woman to save the Shalom Bayis of his parents. But Lamaisa, we said that Miyashem Yish Leisha. It's all Minu Shemaim. We should look into everything and realize that Hakom Minu Shemaim Be'emes. And so we wait for the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu Mimhirah V'Yameinu.